Welcome to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church featuring Pastor Gary Santino. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can find out more information about us at www.fbcenfield.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. God bless.
Just to let you know, I was a wee below, and I have one... Well, I have a few memories that I can still remember at my age, but one in particular, it was a night and there was a raffle. One. And it was like a long Tootsie Roll filled with Tootsie Rolls. I took it home and I've never eaten a Tootsie Roll since. I ate every one of them in one night, and yeah, needless to say, I won't describe the scene. So, I have had a little bit experience camping and all that. So, I grew up in Maine, so I was in the woods all the time, hunting and all that stuff. Great to have the Cub Scouts here. Great to see the presentations, and I'm going to take this occasion to talk about manhood. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read two verses. The Bible says this: "Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." Now, the missions of the Boy Scout, this is off their webpage, so I'm hoping it's accurate, but the mission of the Boy Scouts of America is to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them values of the Scout oath and law. This is a mission they have as an organization. And I think we need to think about a church as a church, and our mission and our goal of helping young men to become, or young boys, if you will, helping young boys to become men. And what does that mean? What does that look like? We're facing a crisis today. We can talk about politics all we want, but the foundation of society is men. 77% of all suicides are committed by men. Twice as many men are likely to become alcoholics. More girls now graduate high school than boys. 1 in 5 boys are being diagnosed with ADHD. Single women buy their homes twice the rate as single men. Almost half of the young men have failed the Army's physical fitness test. 70% of men are overweight or obese. Fewer men are getting married and staying married. And 1 in 5 kids grow up in a house without a father. So it is a heartrending and tragic situation, because the leaders of our home, the leaders of our churches, the leaders of our society, the leaders of our government are men. And in our society today, we're being promoted. I think the situation is being exacerbated today by the unscientific myth that gender is not determined by biology. We don't even know if we're a boy or a girl today in our society. So it's created a greater and greater confusion in our society. And so we ask ourselves the question, when does a boy become a man? And we joke about the millennials staying at home till they're 85. But when does that transition happen? For me, I can remember on our patio to this day, my dad's definition of manhood was our neighbor came and he turned 18 and my dad was very delighted to give him his first drink. And that was, in my mind, definition of a man. And according to our society, oftentimes the definition of a man is how much money you have, your status, your physical ability. And is that realistic and is that biblical and is that helpful for us as families, young boys, men? What is a man? And I don't know if we have that clear in our mind today. And so today we're going to look at the contrast between the first man, Adam, that was a failure, and his failure was catastrophic. And then Jesus, who was a success. And through his success, we have eternal life. Now notice again these verses. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came upon all men. Who is he talking about? Adam. Resulting in condemnation. So, beliefs have consequences. It matters what we believe as a church. It matters what we believe as a society. It has consequences. It has results. It has fruit. And so through Adam's sin, we all suffer today. Even so, through one man's righteous act, who's he talking about? Jesus. The free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's us. We've been made sinners by Adam. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And that's when we receive Jesus, call upon Jesus, and he restores, makes us new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And so, Adam was a failure. Jesus was a success. And so, contrasting Adam and Jesus, I haven't come up with this. If you were in our 33 series last year, not this year, you'll recognize these four definitions of a man. And they're incomplete and insufficient, and they can be expanded upon. And so this is in no wise I feel like this could be a whole series of sermons, biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, and the family. These are all very important subjects for us to have clear in our minds today and for our children to have clear in their minds today, because there's so much false beliefs. If we've learned anything in our study through the Gospel of John, the truth will set us free and bring us on the right path. And so this contrast between Adam and Jesus and four definitions this morning of a man. The first one is a man rejects passivity. Famous saying, you've probably heard it, Edmund Burke said this: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. To stand by idly and do nothing. Passivity means accepting or allowing what happens or what others do without active response or resistance. So there's a passivity just lets everything happen. We see this in Adam, right? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, Genesis 3:6, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. What did Adam do? What did he do? What did he do? I thought I heard it. Nothing. Did he know the commandment? Did he know what God said? And his woman, his wife, all right, let's do it. And he did nothing. That's passivity. That's being passive. That's allowing things to happen without any resistance. One thing that we talk about the existence of God, and we talk about love and good, but one of the other things that the existence of God clarifies for us is the existence of evil. And this world and our life, there is always a force, it seems like, against us. There's always forces bringing us to do bad things. And if we let things happen, life will get worse. Now, what did Jesus do? When Jesus went to the temple, he went to the temple where people were supposed to be preaching the word of God, and they were corrupt and they were making a business out of it. And the Bible says that Jesus went in the temple. Now we understand Jesus as being humble. He humbled himself to the death of the cross. Humility does not mean passivity. Jesus was not passive. He went in that temple and he told those that sold the pigeons, take these things away and do not make my father's house a house of trade. And Matthew talks about he turned over the tables. He went in there and got a little bit perturbed and angry. And he didn't stand by idle and just watch it happen. He did something. His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal for your house will consume me. How did we get where we are today that men are so passive? When it comes to morality and righteous and resisting evil, maybe because we're too wrapped up in sports, we're too wrapped up in material things, we're too wrapped up in their entertainment and video games, and society is crumbling around us and we do nothing. God wants men that are engaged. Someone says, if you aim at nothing, we will be sure to hit it. And I believe one of the reasons men are depressed today, and there's this depression upon men and suicide is among men, is a result of passivity. Because when you're passive, you don't accomplish anything. So I like about the Scouts. They were here last year, the middle of the winter. You know what they're doing here at the church in the middle of the winter? They're camping out. They've got tents in the field. There's ice on the tents. And I'm in my house saying, I'm glad I'm not out there. I had my camping days. But what are they doing? They're trying to challenge these young men to do something that is beyond themselves, do something that is uncomfortable. And I wonder today if our helicopter society of our paranoia of everything we project on our kids. A man must reject passivity. I see this ugly passivity in my heart. And I often have to say to myself, you're being passive. Do something. Because it's in A to be passive. And it's in your DNA not to do something. And so we need to reject passivity. The second principle about manhood is a man accepts responsibility. What did Adam do? Then the man said, God was asking, why did you eat the apple? The man said, what did he say? I'm sorry, God, it was my fault. I shouldn't have done it. No. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. He blamed the woman. That's why it's so bad to be single. You don't have anybody to blame. At least if you're married, you can blame it on your partner. But how many times do we do this? We don't accept responsibility. And we live in a society that plays the blame game, the victim mentality. It's because of a race. It's because how I was grown up. It's because of this. It's because of that. And you've heard me say it many times, and I've said it to my kids, my children, life is not fair. If you're looking for fairness in life, you're never going to find it. There's one that's just, and that's God. And there's one that will make everything right in the end, and that's God. But on this earth, you are going to be beat up and thrown around and kicked at. Life is difficult. The only one you can change is you, your response to it. You cannot change other people. Jesus, what did he do? How did he accept responsibility? When he was getting ready to go to the cross, he went a little further. This is when he was praying in the garden, fell on his face, Matthew 26:39, and prayed saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, responsibility is a moral obligation. It is a moral obligation. It's part of our character that we will do the right thing no matter where we are and no matter who is looking. Because God knows our heart. And we are responsible not just to others and not just to society and not just to our parents, but ultimately we're responsible to God. And maybe, just maybe, the further we get away from our roots, that is religion, Judeo-Christian belief, the church, the Bible, belief in God. It's no accident that the further we get away from God, the more confused our society is and the less responsible people are. Because ultimately, we're responsible to God. And so a true man is responsible and takes on responsibility. Solomon said this at the end of his time of sowing his wild oats, of his time of trying to discover the purpose of life. And he was the richest man in the world. He gave himself to every pleasure, to everything that man says today. See, things aren't different today. He gave himself to everything that the world says will make you happy. And we're not. What's his conclusion? Ecclesiastes 12:13. The end of matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole, notice that word, duty of man. We don't hear that word duty. It's your duty. It's your obligation to do. It's your responsibility to do, whether you feel like it or not. And we cannot base our responsibility on our feelings, and so many times we let our feelings get in the way, especially today. But why? Why? Because Solomon says this, for God will bring every deep deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Solomon's saying, ultimately, we're going to give an account to God for our life. And so we need to be responsible with our lives. Responsible with our actions. Responsible with our words. Responsible with our thoughts. And men, ultimately, we are the ones responsible for our family. Not the church, not society, not the school. Us as men. God has called us to be responsible and lead our families with moral fortitude. So a true man, definition of a man, rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, and then a man leads courageously. So what did Adam do? And they heard the sound of the Lord. This is after they had eaten the apple. Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What did Adam do? He was hiding. He was running. He's probably hiding behind his wife. He was fearful. He was intimidated. He felt inadequate. And he ran instead of leading, courageous. What did Jesus do when he was getting ready to face and go to his crucifixion? After they had just had the Lord's Supper, after he just prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew his betrayers were coming, he said, rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. He didn't run away from the cross. He ran to the cross. He had courage. Courage. What is courage? It's mental or moral strength to venture, preserve, and withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. See, it's good for boys to get bruises and scratches and broken arms. I don't hear many amens. My legs were always scratched up. My hands are always still. To this day, I just started wearing gloves the past year, finally. But we want to coddle our kids, and we say, why don't they have any courage? I can remember one of my daughters, when they were little, we would be at McDonald's and say, Daddy, can I have another fry? We'll go up and order it. No. Okay, I just saved some money. Fine, no problem. Finally, they went up and ordered the fry, and she told me years later that was like, Daddy, you pushed me. Right? You forced me. Yeah, we have to force our kids. Like, you have to take your kids in and make them do things because we are irresponsible in our nature. We need to be pushed. We need this mental toughness. Listen, courage isn't gained instantaneously. It's a process of steps. And as men, we need this courage. We need to be challenged. We need to have the fortitude to go forward. I think of Shackleton. Ernest Shackleton went to the South Pole, and their boat was stuck in the ice. They were in the ice for over a year and a half. Finally, the boat broke up. They were 1,200 miles off course. A crew of 28. He packed his crew on three lifeboats as the ice began to melt and sailed for Elephant Island, 800 miles away. As they made that trip, they got to Elephant Island, but it was uninhabitable. There was nobody there. So we left everybody there, took four men, and they went another 800 miles to the whaling station. Got there, but they were on the wrong side of the island. He had to take a 32-hour hike up over the mountain and a trail that had never been done before. And made it to the whaling station, didn't lose any of the 28 men. You talk about courage. Like, I would have just fell in the ocean, said, God, have mercy on me. I hate cold. Like, my daughter's complaining it's 50 degrees the other day. I mean, we're talking about the Arctic. Life is dangerous. Life is uncertain. Life is unfair. Life is tough. People can be hateful. It is a mean, cruel world. That's reality, folks. And we need to have courage, that moral courage to do right when nobody else is doing right. Not to steal from our boss when all our coworkers are stealing. Not to lie when everybody else, you hear that from your kids, everybody else does it. Well, how about we not be everybody else? How about we be different? How about we build a little character that will actually give us satisfaction and a feeling of courage? A couple months ago, Joe dragged me to Six Flags. First place he goes, Superman. I hadn't been on a roller coaster, I don't know for how long. I was like, no, Joe, I'm tired. And he goes, no, Daddy, you're going. All right. Courage. Practice what you preach. And in my mind, I'm looking. Nobody's died. Nobody's fallen out. I'm watching the people come back. They're all smiling and happy. And I'm like, I can do it. Now, I'm not telling him any of this. I'm acting cool. Then he wanted to sit in the front. I'm like, okay. I got this. I'm still alive. Ready to go again. Wasn't as bad as I thought. We need to have moral courage. A man leads courageously. Your family, your society, your church is looking to you for direction, for leadership, for courage. That's what we need. That's what your boys need, your girls need. That's what we need in our society, moral courage. That God gives us as we serve him. And then finally, a man lives for eternity. Now I think this is the key element we're missing today. Bible says this in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. We are not just chemicals. God breathed into us his spirit, and man became a living being. When Jesus was baptized, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon him. We are more than flesh and blood. And it says this about Jesus: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for what? The joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was he looking to? He was looking to today, when he went to the cross, that you could receive the forgiveness of sins, that you could receive eternal salvation. Life is, we are not just biological selves. We are created in the image of God. We are created with a spirit. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I could go on a lot on this point, but the point is that a true man lives eternally. He lives for God. He lives through the Spirit. Through the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the flesh. We live, first of all, for God. And I want to say to you, dads, you can bring your kids to church, but if your kids never see you reading the Bible, they never see you praying, they never see you demonstrate Christian virtues at home, we can't bail you out. We'll try. Best we can. And we as a church, we're trying to rescue people in this world, but it's so hard to undo. The absence of a dad. So we need to reject passivity. That's a man. We need to accept responsibility. We need to lead courageously. And we need to live eternally. God said to Joshua as he's going into the promised land, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God wants us to be men and women. And these can apply to women. This can apply to everybody here today. But the emphasis is on today, is when we become adults. When does manhood come? And the scouts, Aaron's trying to get his Eagle Scout. He actually has to do, and I've been here when they're having the council and they're judging and he has to read books and he has to tie knots and he has to build stuff, go on hikes. There's some requirements, right? We don't pass on manhood just because you turned 18 and you can drink alcohol. It's probably not 18 now. I don't even know. 21, whatever it is. That's not manhood. You know what manhood is? Manhood is, it's not an age. It's when you start rejecting passivity, when you become responsible, when you lead courageously and you live eternally. Could be 13. That's a man. Man's not an age, it's your character, it's who you are. That's when you become a man. And we really need to, as a church and as a society and as parents, wake up. Say, you know what? We need to do something. We need to be proactive and not just let this wave continue down. We need to say, no, we're stopping it. We need to get back to the values that made our churches great, our families great, our country great. We need to get back to those values today. Let's stand.